Amen. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10. And let's set our eyes upon this for a few moments. John chapter 10. And let's look at verse 3. John 10, 3. In verse 3 it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him." Say, flee from him. "For they know not the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Hallelujah. I tell you, I hear his voice. He's my shepherd. I hear him, and I follow him. Hallelujah. I've said this before, if we follow him, we'll never miss it, ever, if we follow him. Praise God. One thing I shared, let's look at John 14. Let's just go over there and look at that. That was part of one of the scriptures we were looking at. John 14, let's look at verse 16. Starting at 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Say, another comforter. And as we said, he was the first comforter. So he said, "I'm going to give you another comforter just like me." That's what he said, another comforter. "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and," praise God, "shall be in you." Hallelujah. In verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Thank God. He's going to show us all things. He's going to bring things to our remembrance, or I'm going to say he's going to teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, there was a scripture I used in one of the lessons, and I think it's key to hearing. And Hebrews chapter 3. You can turn there for a moment. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. And one of the things that we were sharing, there are four ways that we hear from him. The primary way is in his word. That's how we hear him. It's number one, his word. Number two, the inward witness. Number three, the still small voice. And number four, the more authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But verse 15 in chapter 3, it says, "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice," and do what? "Harden not your heart." Hear his voice and harden not your heart. And one of the things that we were sharing is that, and actually in chapter 4, it says a similar thing. It says again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts." So if we want to hear him clearly, this always goes back to a heart issue, doesn't it? Careful what you think. What does it say? I believe in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, guard your what? Heart. For out of it come the issues of life. So it's always about guarding our hearts. And if we don't guard it, then we can sometimes think on things or meditate on things that affect the hearing. And so it's key in that area. What does it say in the scripture? If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So sometimes unwillingness to do certain things when God gives direction or he speaks something to us, we go, no, I'm not doing that. Well, you're unwilling. And that can be the start of hardening of the heart. So as some have said, God will say, well, when you go back and do that which I told you to do, then I'll speak to you. So sometimes it can affect him continuing to speak to you if you don't do what he told you to do. Why? Because you're unwilling. And that's not even just being over into hatred and all other kinds of things. That's just being basic unwilling. He tells you to do something, and you just feel like, I don't feel like doing that. Well, feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. Did he tell you to do it? Amen? So, some of the things that, let's keep saying this, it keeps good to remind ourselves, I'm not externally led, I'm internally led. See, I'm led by the inward witness, I'm led inside by him. And let's go over, let's read that again, Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 14, 15, and 16. Romans chapter 8. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that an interesting contrast here in verse 15? For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, when you, and look at the contrast when it says here, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When there's a spirit of adoption, you feel like you belong. You feel the presence of God, you feel at home, don't you? When you feel like you belong, you feel like I belong here in his presence. But when there's bondage, it's a different kind of feeling, isn't it? You feel oppressed, you feel pushed, put down. You don't feel like there's hatred, you don't feel like you belong there. And in verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It says here, he beareth witness, right? And if children, verse 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. And some of the other modern translations in verse 16 really talks about more along the line when this says here, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, that's really a co-witness. Because the various translations, like the Knox translation, it says the Spirit himself thus assures our spirit. So he assures your spirit that this is correct, this is right, this is the right direction, this is the right path you're going on, the right choice you're making. The J.B. Phillips translation says, the Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction. It's good to have some convictions. You know, you may be convinced, or convicted to not like this person. And he will certainly let you assure you or endorse that that's correct or not. He may quicken you, no, you love that person, regardless of what they did, right? So when he endorses or he assures or testifies to your spirit that this is right or not right, we've been saying that's like the green light, that's like the yellow light, the red light. I'm going down, I'm convinced to go this particular direction. He assures me that this is the right path. Or if I'm getting a hesitation, then it's what? A yellow I hold up and wait. I kind of think about the time when, you know, I've had choices. I'll say it this way because it's in the context of this. When I was younger, I'll say it that way. When I was younger, I was in a time of prayer. I was in my 20s, and I was laying on my bed praying in the Holy Ghost, and I felt like, that's all I can say, I was praying like this. I was laying flat on the bed. I had my hands on my spirit area praying in the Holy Ghost. I'd been there for a while, just relaxing, praying in the Spirit. Not very loud, but just praying. And all of a sudden, it felt like it expanded so much, I felt like I was leaving my body. And I got a little nervous because I went, where am I going? I literally felt like I was leaving my body. It was that strong. And Brother Hagin talks about that. He said he got over so far in the spirit, he pulled back because he got a little nervous. We can experience things like that. So anyways, when that happened, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost began to talk loudly, authoritatively, and quickly, and began to share some things about me personally, ministry-wise. He said, bump, 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 bump. And so, for 3 days, I walked in a divine peace that's hard. I've never really walked in like that since then. It was supernatural. It affected my whole soulish air, everything. After that, I began to think me. He didn't tell me to. Here's what I'm trying to say, hearing accurately. I heard him accurately because he spoke. But he did not give me this instruction. I thought, I added to what he told me. I said, I need to go to Bible school because he's going to do this, this, and this in me. So I need to go to Bible college. And I began to make an effort to go in that direction. And you've heard me talk about going out to Rhema and so forth and so on. And, you know, if I had my desire, even today, if I had my desire, would I have wanted to go? Yes. He had other plans. He had a different direction for my life. But I thought I needed to do that to fulfill this. And so, you've heard me say this, after trying to get an application, I did. But when I finally got it, as I'm sitting there filling it out, I couldn't do it. And I'm like, no, I want to go. But I couldn't. I just kept trying to fit there. The unction was not there. So I didn't do anything with it. That's what I'm talking about, that we can hear God very clearly in one way, and then we can add to it something he never said. And this is all part of hearing. We can get an impression to do something. Now, I didn't get an impression about things. He said these things to me about me and how he was going to use me. Man, there's no doubt. I'd stand before him and say, Lord, you said, yes, sir, I did say that, but I didn't tell you to do this. And so we need to be conscious of the fact that sometimes when we get impressions, we can add to it what we think he said. And he didn't say that, did he? You got an impression. And so sometimes we can miss it in that area when we add to, right? Because did he say to you to do X, Y, Z? And I think it would help us, those that maybe interact with people that say, thus saith the Lord, to you or about something, and qualify them. Say, did he say that, or was it an impression? Because that will help you as to how, where are you going with this conversation. Because it may affect you, it may affect something you're doing, and so forth, and begin to ask some questions. Because just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, it may have been an impression. And they may have added to what that impression was. We're not questioning whether the Lord gave him the impression, but did he say that? You understand what I mean? So we want to hear accurately to ourselves and just in life. Amen? Because people will come up and tell us, the Lord said this, and the Lord said this, and I'm being a little more slow to say, yeah, okay, and begin to ask some questions. You know how parents do with their children? They begin to say, okay, Bobby, Susie, give me some more information. Parents do that with children, right? Give me a little more information, and then I'll make a decision here, right? Not just on emotion, right? But let's not, you know, we're going to ask some questions, and I think it would behoove us to not just be babies spiritually and just gullibly take something because somebody said, thus saith the Lord. Let's ask some questions. Let's listen on the inside. Do we bear witness with that? And follow up and ask, because if you're being taught, you may help that person because they may have been not taught properly, right? And help them. Did he say it, or was it an impression? If it's an impression, we're not here to question it, but did he say that, or did you add to it? And you got to help people. Amen? That's what we're here to do. Help people. Glory to God. So, let's move on. I want to just spend a few minutes here tonight. And I want to get over into the book of Acts, because I think that will help us, you know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit said and so forth. We can go right over into the book of Acts and see. And one of the last lessons, before we go over there, let me just, we're in the Romans chapter 8. And let me just read this again, just for the sake of meditating on it. Verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what? The flesh. And he said, but they that are after the Spirit do what? Do mind, well, it says they after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, but the more modern translations say they do mind the things of the Spirit. And verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And of course, we went through in the lessons and shared some things. Be good to go back and listen to that again. But this says here, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Where are we led in our minds? No, we're led in our spirits. And where is this life and peace that's going to lead us? In our spirit. And so when it says here, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, that life and peace is in your spirit. And that's where you're going to be led. And we've spent some time talking about being led by peace, being led by the life of God, the quickening, which is talked about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Well, he will quicken in your spirit. He will lead you by that. The Spirit of God is referred to as the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of God is referred to as the Spirit of peace. So the same Spirit, the Spirit of life and peace, will lead us, quicken us to something, give us peace. What is that? We talk about the same thing, that inward peace. It's green light, yellow light, red light, right? Same thing. Or Brother Hagin would talk about it. He'd refer to it as taking a shower with your socks on. Something just didn't feel right. That's called a yellow, right? It's the same thing, however you want to say it, right? Just didn't feel right, right? Inward witness. So that's how we're led. We're to follow life and peace. And of course, you know, when you go over into Proverbs, it talks about wisdom. And it says all of her paths are peace. So when we're led by the wisdom of God, there's peace. When we're led by the Spirit of God, when we're spiritually minded, well, if we're spiritually minded, we're seeking wisdom. We're following wisdom, right? There should be peace. Hallelujah. So just to kind of touch on this again, when we are carnally minded, and we used some scriptures about if two of you, in Matthew 18, 19, it says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. When we set and put our minds on something, we touch it. We touch it with our minds. And when you touch something with your mind, you contact it, you touch it. And that's why the devil works so hard at people touching ungodly things. Because when you are spiritually minded, you touch that which is motivated by the Spirit of life and the Spirit of peace. And when we touch things that are not godly, it says it leads to death. What? That can be worry, frustration, anxiety. So when you say, well, there's nothing to reading this article, well, let me ask this question. When you read it, you touch it, how does it make you feel afterwards? If you listen to that music, if it doesn't give you peace, then what kind of music was it? Ungodly. That's just the bottom line. That's what it is. See, and be led that way. If you read something and it doesn't give you peace, throw it out. Don't read it, because what you're doing is you're touching that which is ungodly, and what you touch with your mind, you open your heart up to. You feed on it, right? And that's all we're talking about. This is all in the context of hearing from God. See? So when you touch something, think about this. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. How do we please God? We please God by faith, not by our emotions. We don't please God with that. We don't respond to things with our emotions. So that's why I'm becoming more conscious and more selective about what I read, what I listen to, what I set my eyes on, what I set my ears to, because I want to be more spiritual. We all do. And in order to be more, to hear him more accurately, we have to become more spiritual. And in order to become more spiritual, we cannot be worldly. You have to live holy. What does that mean? That means I can't touch the ungodly. That's what that means. And it's going to be, yeah, it's a choice for everybody. And for everybody, it's different. Everybody's different. Everybody's at different spiritual growth. So we can't cookie cutter this and say, you should do this and you should do this. No, the Holy Ghost will lead you personally as to what to do and not do. We don't legislate righteousness. He leads us. And he will let all of us know, don't do that anymore. Don't read that anymore. Don't listen to that anymore. That's not for you. What does the scripture say in 1 Corinthians? Is what hath light and darkness? What hath righteousness and unrighteousness? It's talking about friendships, but we don't make friends with the world. So for us, in hearing him accurately and clearly, I keep saying this for myself and for all of us, that in order for this area, your spirit man, to be more sensitive to him, we've got to spend more time here. This is the primary way that he speaks to us and leads us. We got to spend more time in the Word and more time praying in the Spirit. Because that will cause this area of me, the real me, to be more alive, to be more sensitive to him. I'm stirring up the gift that's within me. I'm meditating on him more. Yeah, I've got things to do, I'm busy, but I'm purposing to spend more time in the Word and praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to be going, oh Lord, what should I do? I know what to do. Right? Amen. So, back to that, you know, when it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, you know what's interesting? When you read that, why don't you just turn over there for a second, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and just look at this just for a moment before we switch here. Now, Paul's talking to the church of Corinth, and they needed some order in the church. And if you look at, chapter 2, he starts down. He said, you know, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. And he said, I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech was not, you know, was not with enticing words and with man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, and that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then he goes down and he starts talking about, in verse 12, he said, for we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in words with which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then he goes down, and he's in verse 15, he said, but he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things. So when you're spiritual, you can, this says here, you discern things. This says all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Not we're going to, it says we have it. Now, isn't it interesting? The thought doesn't stop there. Forget the chapter marking and look what it says. And I, brethren, so he says we have, he's talking to them, you have the mind of Christ. But then he says you're carnal. In chapter 3, he says in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. Right? But yet, just previous, he said, we have the mind of Christ. But then he starts calling them unspiritual, or he calls them carnal babes. Now, why did he call them that? Look what he says. I've fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you've not been able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For you are yet carnal. For wherein there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? My goodness, could that be a picture of the church? It could be. And sometimes we have to look and say, okay, am I getting over into this kind of stuff? Envying, strife, divisions. You know, am I getting into that? If I am, then I'm being carnal. Am I gossiping? Am I talking about stuff? Then I'm not spiritual. It's an indictment by the Holy Ghost here. And then he said, for while one is saying, I'm Paul, I'm of Apollos, and are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and whose apostles? Who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And he keeps going down, and he starts talking about all of the things that are going on among them and not being spiritual. He said, you're carnal. So all of that, where he talks about we have the mind of Christ, it's you know, sometimes we say that, and it's true. It's truth. But in that, we have to examine ourselves. Are we actually operating that way? What is our mind on? See, when it says we have the mind of Christ, what is our mind on? Is it on spiritual things, or is it on all of these things that Paul talks about? Envying, strife, divisions, that kind of business. And the reason I say that is because the season that we're in, you see stuff going on in society that's causing church people to put their mind on it and be drawn into it, and it's causing division in the church. And I would say that's carnal, and it causes division. And that's just exactly what the devil wants. He wants division and not unity. Right? And you can't tell me that when there's division among the church, you get one camp that says, thus saith the Lord, and another one says, thus saith the Lord, and another one says, thus saith the Lord. Somebody's wrong. It's not unity. And it's carnal. And so I just say that in the sense of we need to watch what we put our minds on, and if it doesn't cause life and peace in your heart, stay away from it. Don't touch it. Don't get involved in it, even if your flesh and mind wants to. If your mind wants to, then you need to start asking some questions, because the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, right? What does that say? It says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that separates and divides between the what? The soul and the spirit. I keep saying this, your brain is not your mind. When you leave this earth, your mind or soul is intact. It doesn't say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your brain. Your brain is nothing more than an organ that gives instructions to what? These extremities and body. That's all it is. But your mind is on the inside. That's why we are led internally, or your soul. Hallelujah. So let's go over to the book of Acts for a moment, and let's look at this here just for a few moments, because we're going to touch on this for a while till this kind of sinks in. Let's look at Acts chapter 15 for a moment. And let's look at the beginning. And at the beginning of chapter 15, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Okay. So then verse 2, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." So they're going to get an answer on this, right? And then verse 8, "And God which knoweth the hearts," it says, "bear them," what? "Witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." And let me move over here. Let's go to verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men of the brethren. And they wrote letters by them, after this manner: the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria, and so forth. And now look at verse 25. It said, "It seemed" what? "Good to us." That you could say is an inward perception or inward witness. Does it say here, "The Holy Ghost said"? Does it say that? And I want you to get that, because we're going to look at some other scriptures here for a few minutes in the book of Acts. This says what? "It seemed good to us." If you go over and look at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, it said Luke wrote those a gospel because it what? It seemed good to him to do it. It didn't say the Holy Ghost spoke to him. It said it seemed good. Now, that's not to say that the Holy Ghost wasn't bearing witness, but it does not say, we can't add to that, "the Holy Ghost said." Because did he say something to you? No. He bore witness. It seemed good to you to do that, right? This is what you have to be, this is what I'm saying. If we're going to accurately divide the Word of God, we can't add to something that it didn't say. Right? And verse 28, it goes on, it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." Now, I'm looking at highlighting some scripture here. And look down here at verse 34. It says, "Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still." So if you look at some of the other translations, it said, "It seemed good to Silas to stay there." And you know the Holy Ghost was in that. It didn't say the Holy Ghost said, "Stay there." Did it? It just said it seemed good to him to stay there. It was the Holy Spirit. But he did not say to him, "Stay there." He just said, "It seemed good to stay here." And, of course, that was confirmed, because when you read down here in 35 and 36, and some days after Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul did what? He thought not good to take him. So they had a contention. And so who happened to be there that Paul decided to take? Silas. Because it just seemed good for him to stay. Right? Now let me jump over here a little bit, because we don't have the time to go through this, but let's look at chapter 21. Chapter 21. And then leading up to this, you can see in chapter 20, it talks about Paul in chapter 20 and verse 17. He said, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, doing what? Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befall me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." So, and then what does he say in verse 22? "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Now, he's set his face, so to speak. He's going to Jerusalem. Now, let's go to chapter 21. And the story continues, and it says, "And it came to pass," verse 1, "that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden." Now listen to this. This is what I think we need to highlight here this evening. "And finding disciples." Who were they? Disciples. Isn't that what it says? "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." Now let me ask this question. Does it say the Holy Ghost said? Where? See, this is why I want to get clear. Let me read this out of some other translations. We need to have some clarity here, because just because it said through the Spirit, did it say he said something? They said through the Spirit. So it doesn't say the Holy Spirit said. It said they said. Didn't it say that? Read your Bible. They said, or who said to Paul through the Spirit? Right? I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It said, "We looked up the local disciples and stayed with them 7 days. Their message to Paul, from insight given by the Spirit, was don't go to Jerusalem." Okay? Their insight by the Spirit. This is what I'm talking about. Now read that, and now let's jump down, because somebody's wrong somewhere, and the Bible's not wrong. So somebody missed it here. They're saying, "Thus saith the Lord, by the Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem," right? Yet Paul had been given some instructions. Even the Lord said, "My hand is upon him, he's going to suffer some things and stand before certain people," and so forth, right? Now, let's go down to verse 10. And of course, you can see here, it says, as we tarried there many days, there came down from where? Judea, a certain what? Prophet named Agabus. There's a difference between disciples and a prophet. And I want you to see the difference here in verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. He didn't even talk to Paul. He just took his belt. That's a little strange, right? Somebody just come up and grab your belt, right? And bound his own hands and feet and said, what? Did he say through the Spirit? No, he said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. And he was a prophet. And it said, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Did Agabus tell him he shouldn't go to Jerusalem? That would have been a good time right there as a prophet. And the Holy Ghost said something. That would have been a good time to say, thus saith the Holy Ghost, don't go to Jerusalem. So somebody missed it somewhere, didn't they? Right? And that's all I'm really trying to say is that they said, the disciples said something that they picked up in the Spirit, but somewhere along the line, they obviously added to it, didn't they? They added to some instructions here and tagged with it the Holy Ghost. Right? But this prophet did not say, don't go. He said, you're going to be delivered up. Is everybody with me here? Because this is in your Bible, right? And verse 12, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him. What did they do? See, this is what I'm talking about. What did they do? The folks there said, don't go. But the Holy Ghost didn't say that. They said to him, please don't go. We besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, that's what I'm talking about. We ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. And this is what I'm talking about here for us as Christians growing. Don't be moved by things that people say to you and tag, thus saith the Lord. It's got to bear witness with your spirit. And if it doesn't line up with some instructions that you've been given, throw it away, just like Paul did. He said, I'm sorry, I'm persuaded, I'm going this way. And that's why I'm saying, because sometimes we can ask people for, what do you think? And you better, if you've heard from the Lord and you've gotten an impression, I don't need to hear from somebody else. I don't need to hear what thus saith the Lord, because if I've heard from him, then, and I'm not saying I don't need to hear. Let me rephrase that. I do need to hear from him, but I will weigh what you say. And if it doesn't line up with what God has given me or it doesn't bear witness, it's nice seeing you. It's good to see you. Praise the Lord. I'm going this way. Everybody make sense on this? Because this is what happened right here. You could look at this example right here. This goes on all the time. People get some instructions. Maybe they're waiting on the Lord. Maybe they're not clear, or he's given them part of the instructions. Are you going to be swayed by something someone says? Or are you persuaded? That's the key. Are you persuaded, or are you swayed? Right? Let's not be swayed. Let's be persuaded. Right? So, look at chapter 13 for a minute. We'll close here in a minute, but just wanted to touch on this here. Chapter 13. And look at the first three verses. Acts chapter 13, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost bore witness." Now, the Holy Ghost said, this was not an impression. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and did what? Sent them away. So, interesting here, it doesn't say, but it says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So obviously, even in that, the Lord must have spoken some things to Barnabas and Saul. Right? And they must have known what it was. I mean, it doesn't say here that he told those that were ministering and fasting. But he told Barnabas and Saul. He just told them, he just said, just separate them. And look at chapter 4 for a second. No. No, I don't want that. Sorry. Let me look at this here. Didn't want to look at that. Yeah, let me just leave that. I'm going to leave that alone right now. So, we'll pick up again, because there's some other references in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. But I wanted to just start this here this evening in hearing accurately the difference between the Holy Ghost saying something or him bearing witness, or there being a perception of something. We get perceptions all the time. We were meeting with someone recently, and they were sharing some things with us, and the Lord spoke to us, oh my goodness, at least 6 years prior, but didn't say anything specific, but gave us some information or some thoughts about this particular individual, but he didn't say anything other than that. He didn't say to do anything. It was just information. You understand what I mean by that? But then when this individual sat with us, there it is. Good thing, but just it all unfolded and confirmed what he had told us 5 or 6 years ago. So, did the Holy Ghost say something? Yes, but he didn't say to do anything with it. It was just for your, as they say, for your information. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us as pastors sometimes, not all the time, about individuals. Not to do anything with it, but to just know. Is that understood? He doesn't say, okay, now that you know this, do dot, dot, dot. It's just, I'm revealing this to you as their shepherds. and you're not to do anything with it until I tell you. Or it'll be clear later or later on, right? And so it's the same thing. We could get an impression about something, and that's why even Pastor Greg and I, when we talk, he may have an impression about something. I may say, yep, I do too. But what we're learning is to not add to it something that we think, because our minds can get very creative and think a whole lot of things that are not so, right? You could almost go and say it could become delusional. You're thinking about all kinds of things, and it's like, man, what was I even thinking about that? That's not so, because he didn't say so. You just had an impression. That's all you had. Was it the Holy Spirit? Yes. But he didn't give you any specifics about it. All he did was give you an impression. And that's what I think in hearing from God accurately. If you have an impression about something, go as far as that impression is, you know, as far as you can go, and then don't add to it. Ask for more help and assistance. If he doesn't tell you anything, then just stay steady until he gives you more. Right? That's part of hearing accurately, because unfortunately, we've all added to. How many have added to what they thought the Lord said? Be honest. We've all added to something that we thought we had an impression. Was the impression accurate? It probably was. But we didn't need to add to it what we thought it meant, because it can get us in trouble, right? And we can start going down paths and doing things that weren't him, right? And of course, you can see here, with Paul and all of them here, and those disciples, somebody missed it somewhere. And it wasn't Agabus. It was those disciples that missed it. And they said, well, the Lord. Right? And they tagged it with that, right? And then even after Agabus said, this is what's going to happen to you, Paul, they said, don't go. What? Don't go. And he said, no, I'm going because I'm persuaded. And that's what we have to be, persuaded. And if we're not persuaded, leave it alone until you are. You know, another way you could say of being persuaded is that you're in faith. If you're not sure, you're not in faith. If you're not convinced, then you're not in faith. Anybody home? I'm going to say it again. If you're not convinced, you're not in faith. I'll tell you, those folks there, those disciples that stood there with him, they must not have been too convinced, because they tried to persuade him to not go after they heard what the Holy Spirit said. Right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So how are we going to hear him more accurately? Through the Word of God and praying more in the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference between an impression and him speaking something to you. And they are not the same. One's just an impression. One's an inward witness. It's not a voice. It just felt good to do this. And there's a difference. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for reminding us of these truths in your Word. And Father, as we meditate upon them more, we will hear you more accurately. You'll bring things, you'll teach us all things, bring things to our remembrance. So even when it doesn't have application now, at this particular moment, you will bring it back to our remembrance when we need it. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you do that to help us. We desire to grow spiritually. So we purpose in our hearts to place our minds upon spiritual things and touch spiritual things. In Jesus' name, amen.